Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As you know, if you've been with us, we are in the book of Genesis at chapter 14 and verse 13. The text says, "Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew." Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were allies with Abram. Thus far this week, we have talked about the fugitive and Abram the Hebrew, looking at the origins of this name Hebrew. At the beginning today, I want to highlight for you the remainder of verse 13 as we focus on Abram's allies. Their names are Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner. And when we read the phrase, "Now Abram was living by the oaks of Mamre," it may be tempting to think of Mamre as only a place. But Mamre is actually a person. It is both a place and a person. As we continue the reading, we see the next words, Mamre the Amorite. So Mamre is a man, and he has two brothers. Their names are Eshcol and Aner, and these three men are allies with Abram. These oaks, a large grove of trees, were owned, or they were on the property of Mamre. He belonged to the Amorite people, and he lived in this place that was 19 miles, 30 kilometers to the southwest of Jerusalem at Hebron. And the elevation there was over 3,000 feet, over 915 meters. So that these men, allied together, had a spectacular view of what was going on down in the Jordan Valley, where Lot was and where the preeminent battles in the War of the Kings took place. You will likely recognize Hebron from the Bible, a favorite home of Abraham when his wife Sarah died. She was buried in the cave nearby, which Abraham had purchased. I am reading Genesis chapter 23 and verse 19. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field at Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Later on, Hebron was taken in battle by Joshua and given to Caleb as an inheritance. See Joshua chapters 10, 12, and 14. And when David became king, he made Hebron his royal residence and lived there 7.5 years. He was actually anointed king there at Hebron. Read 2 Samuel chapters 2 and 5. The city is active in Israel to this very day. It is where the Cave of the Patriarchs are, biblically the Cave of Machpelah, which of course has deep meaning to the Jews and the Muslims, as well as to us Christians. Hebron, this is where the Oaks of Mamre were and home base for Abram and his allies. And we can think of them as tribal chiefs who had partnered together for mutual security. This area, as we have seen following the armies of the northeast and the south, this area was a very dangerous place to be. One had to have allies. Otherwise, you were a sitting duck, inviting slaughter upon yourself. And so the three brothers, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner, form a covenant relationship with Abram and pledge themselves to him. And they kept their commitment, as is evidenced by Genesis 14 and verse 24. When Abram refuses tribute from the king of Sodom for rescuing his people, Abram acknowledges that his allies should get their share. I am skipping ahead and reading Genesis 14, verse 24. Abram says, "I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." This proves that these brothers were faithful to Abram to the end. Abram needed these allies, and how true this is of countries and global powers to this very day. Going it alone in this world is not wise. assuming a people or a nation want to defend themselves and live at peace with others. We see this in the ongoing wars that rage in our time. And someone might say, well, if Abram was truly trusting God, then he would not need such men as these to join him in his pursuit of the enemy armies. Not so. To depend on God's help is often to depend on the help of the people God sends to help us. Having faith and trust in the Lord does not preclude building relationships with people who come to our aid in a time of need. Indeed, people God's Spirit stirs to assist us. It is clear from the text that Abram invested in his relationships with his friends, and we ought to do likewise. And it is also clear that Abram was well-liked, which is a great positive testimony to who God is. As God's people, our testimonies among our neighbors should be such that they, while still unbelieving in Christ, will be glad to pitch in and help us in our times of need. What is your reputation with the people in your community? Are you known as someone who is friendly, kind, willing to help, and committed to your neighborhood? Okay, these are Abram's allies. In verse 13, we've met the fugitive. We have been reacquainted with Abram the Hebrew, and we have met Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner. Remember that the fugitive has told Abram that Lot has been captured, hence the opening words of the next verse, Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. This is quite a verse packed with detail, revealing what kind of a man Abram was. It also tells us about the nature of his relationship to God. I will be pointing out several insights about Abram's character, but just before we get to these insights, I would like to say something about what I believe was happening in the relationship between God and Abram when Abram was out of the story. And for this, I want to bring to your mind the last verse of chapter 13. This is Genesis 13, verse 18. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Between that verse and this 14th verse of chapter 14, Abram is off the page of Scripture, and the question is, what was he doing? I will engage in some conjecture here. The Bible does not tell us what he was doing, but what follows here in Genesis 14 is what has led me to these ideas. If you will stick with me, including tomorrow and Friday, this will make sense. I believe God was using this time with Abram by the oaks of Mamre in Hebron. God was investing himself into Abram by shaping his character. As I just read, Abram had built an altar to the Lord, so we know he was worshiping Holy God. He was praying, he was communicating with his Heavenly Father, and the Lord was meeting with him. We might call this idle time, time without purpose or effect, even pointless. Nothing seems to be happening in Abram's life. Likewise, we have idle times in our lives. We are just living, going about our business day by day, and it seems quiet, sometimes eerily quiet. No action, no crisis. Dare I say it? Life seems boring and monotonous, dull. Ah, but these are the very seasons in which, if we will purposely meet with God, worship Him, pray to Him, and set aside time to meet with Him, then these idle times will be used for great purpose in us, because here, between the action and even the crises, God goes about developing our character. I propose to you that between Genesis 13:18 and Genesis 14:14, God was shaping, molding, and developing Abram into the man of faith he wants Abram to be. He is preparing his man Abram for what is to come, and from this time emerges a great man, an individual of strong and godly character. I want to show you that Abram was a man of strong, godly character, but he was not perfect. Abram was a sinner, as we saw in Genesis chapter 12. He was a liar. But we have to judge the person on the whole. And when we assess Abraham's whole life, as presented to us in the scripture, we find him to be a man of godly character. And that is because holy God is the one who shaped Abram. The Lord developed Abram's character. I think we can define the word character as the qualities of a person that makes them different from others. So we can speak of good character and bad character, or moral character and immoral character. You take a person on the whole, their desires, thoughts, words, actions, and reactions. These tell us the character of the person, who this man or this woman is on the inside as reflected in how we experience them on the outside. Again, this does not speak of perfection. No one is perfect in this life. But God has this powerful ministry of transforming his people by renewing us from the inside out. As the New Testament says, we are new creatures. And so what might appear on the surface as idle time is actually holy time, necessary for God making us into the people he wants us to be. There is no wasted time with God. Beginning tomorrow, we will see several ways in which God shaped Abram's character to make him the man who responds to the fugitive's news that Lot has been taken captive. I hope you will come to these times open-minded, and you will do so tomorrow, joining us, for God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.